Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Monday the 23rd of February at 6:31. Happy National Play Tennis Day. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking to DPD about parcel deliveries and a new locker service. And we'll be looking at whether the Irish funds sector will benefit from a new investment regime and all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers and websites in the stupendous company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Good day, did you? Hope you had a lovely weekend.
I had a wonderful Saturday afternoon watching
rugby. Yes, I bet you did.
I suspect it was less good for you guys.
It wasn't great, but thoroughly deserved it, so no complaints whatsoever.
Well, thank you for your thoughts on that. But let us talk about the story of the weekend, which is, of course, tariffs, as to where we think we are. I mean, are we in a situation where the old tariffs are dead, long live the new tariffs?
The old tariffs imposed under one particular regime by the president, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, they've been ruled illegal by the US Supreme Court. But the tariffs is imposed on industries like steel and aluminium using other trade acts and other parts of the US Constitution. They're still in force because they are deemed to be legal. So there's a chunk of the tariffs that have been struck off. Yes, but not all of them. And in response, the president has said he's going to impose additional tariffs of 15% using a different part of the US law, Section 122 of the 1974 Trade Act. So some tariffs have gone, some tariffs in place, some new tariffs have come in. The net result is the overall tariff rate is probably slightly lower than it was before, but we don't know how long these Section 122 tariffs can last because technically they only go for 150 days before Congress has to approve them. So the overall message is that awful word, uncertainty, and the other unwelcome word, protectionism, still in place ultimately.
Yeah, indeed. And there will be winners and losers. From what I see, one of the losers will be the UK, which had negotiated a 10% deal and is now up to 15%. But the winners will be nations like China, Brazil, Vietnam. They had much higher tariff rates and they all come crashing down to 15%. And yet we know that there's still a huge amount of uncertainty even about them, and that Congress may say, actually, no, we're not going to renew these things, especially as we're facing into the midterms.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the challenge. And a lot of the president's economic policy is based on getting this money in from these tariffs. There's about $150 billion worth of the International Economic Emergency Powers Act tariffs that now aren't going to be coming in. The Trump-Bessent administration is obsessed with getting this money in to either fund tax cuts for American consumers or to help make the federal debt manageable or somewhere both in between as part of their overall plan to get the American economy to run hot. And oddly, the fourth quarter GDP number that was published on Friday from America that got lost in all the tariff noise was much weaker than expected. So the economic situation is not as perhaps as strong as it first seemed. And certainly a big plank of the Trump-Bessent economic policy is now not in place. And also, given the way President Trump approaches negotiations and foreign policy using tariffs as leverage, you also wonder where he's going to be going there next. Because again, some of these tariffs have been ruled illegal, and even the ones he's imposed over the weekend are on very questionable legal grounds.
And they will be tested. And what else will happen?
They will.
That will be refunds. That is going to kind of make a lot of money for lawyers because there's already hundreds of cases out there for companies who are just standing by waiting for this Supreme Court decision. They will now get triggered, and that could mean a lot of money being repaid to the likes of Costco, for example.
Correct. Treasury Secretary Bessent has said this will be a messy process. I'm not sure that really should be the case because US Customs and Excise know exactly how money's been brought in. The number is published every month. They know exactly from whom it has been collected. So there's a paper trail, an electronic trail. It really should be a doddle. And you've got 1,600 companies who have filed lawsuits, over 300,000 of registered protests. And it's interesting because remember, the Trump-Bessent line has always been foreigner pays, Americans don't pay. Yet this proves exactly the opposite. There was a New York Federal Reserve report last week saying Americans have paid, whether it's consumers or companies. Various talking heads from the Trump administration, like Hassett, came out and said, no. But this will actually really give the lie to the Trump percent line that it's foreigner pays, when actually it's Americans who've been paying. And again, ahead of the midterms, that's not going to be a popular message either.
No, it isn't. And that same Secretary Hassett was the one who said that some of the people in the New York Fed who came up with that study should be disciplined for saying it, which is quite scary, in fact. But yeah, we are talking about refunding the companies that pay the import taxes. But consumers could look for money as well. And we had the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, saying that he would like $1,700 per Illinois citizen, please.
That one could be really interesting. I think the figure that's due to be refunded is, people estimate, between $130 and $170 billion. And if the consumers aren't getting involved, that will be very, very tricky indeed. And again, it will be a political hot potato as those midterms approach. And President Trump's got other legal issues. Remember, he's still at war with the US Federal Reserve over Lisa Cook. There's a Supreme Court ruling there quite soon. Congress has got to approve his appointment of the Federal Reserve Chair, Kevin Warsh, who's going to have an awful lot in his in-tray, because if the Americans do have to refund this tariff income, that increases the US federal debt. It increases the amount of debt that they're selling to investors, and that could mean that the interest rate on that goes up, when Mr. Warsh will be looking to try and keep the interest rates low. There is one thing that may help Warsh, is that if the tariffs are struck down, that could put a bit of a lid on inflation, at least, and make it easier for his life easier in some other ways.
Now, in non-tariff news, investors are moving money out of America and into Europe, according to the FT.
Yeah, in vast numbers. And I think this, if we'd been talking a year ago, financial markets were obsessed with the concept of American exceptionalism. And I think everything that we've just spent the last 8 to 10 minutes talking about has taken a bit of the shine off that. And so American investors have been wondering, are they overexposed to the US? And if you think about it, it's like everybody's sitting in a boat on a lake. And if they all go over to one side of the boat, eventually the boat's going to tip over and they're going to fall into the drink. So at some stage, you've got to go back to at least the middle of the boat, if not the other side, to keep the boat balanced. And that's what investors have been doing. America's stock market got to be 64% of the total value of global stock markets. That was an all-time high. It's now dribbled down to about 60% because other markets are now doing better than America. Europe, even the UK, emerging markets are starting to outperform America as well, because I think valuations got high, expectations got high, and I think investors are now just hedging their risks, partly because you have a president in charge whom nobody quite knows what's coming next.
Indeed, I don't even think his cabinet knows what's going on in his head at any one time. And staying with Trump, he's threatened Netflix with major consequences if they don't get rid of Susan Rice, the former Obama advisor.
She worked as national security advisor and ambassador to the UN for President Obama, and then worked under Joe Biden as well. She gave an interview to a podcast over the weekend saying that companies that bent the knee to President Trump might get it coming to them if the Democrats get back into power after the next election. So that was, in some ways, quite an inflammatory thing to say. Trump bit back, saying, OK, well, Netflix, she's on your board. She should be sacked. And if you don't do something about it, there could be, quote, consequences. And remember, Netflix is currently involved in this bid battle with Paramount Skydance for Warner Brothers Discovery, which the president has so far said he will stay out of. Well, now it seems he's going to stick his oar in there as well.
It's very dangerous, though, when a president of the United States starts threatening a private company with who's on their board.
We've gone from this concept of American exceptionalism to the sell America trend, and it's flipped on a switch in the space of the last year because of this kind of talk. Investors are looking at America going, we really liked what we saw, now we like it less, we're going to pay a lower valuation, a lower multiple, and we're going to manage that risk by moving our money elsewhere. And you're also seeing that in dollar weakness. Again, probably one of the biggest losers over the weekend has been all this tariff tumbling around has been the US dollar. Asian markets have actually been mixed overnight, with India up. I mean, China and Japan are actually closed, but India, Korea and Taiwan up. Europe showing flat to slight down. Biggest falls in the American market and the dollar again, because investors are just fighting shy of a message they either don't like, don't understand, or not sure how long it's going to last.
Thanks, Russ. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week. That's Russ Mould there from Age.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. J. Bell.